I call to order the Public Safety Committee meeting. It's Monday, August 7th, 2 o'clock, and I'd like to acknowledge that the public and press have been duly notified of this meeting in accordance with the Freedom of Information Act. We have some folks on conference call, video, and at this time I'd like to move that we reorder the agenda and move item 5A to be the next order of business.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'll let you.
So do you want to go ahead and make them live so that we can have them be part of the conversation here?
So Marie is live.
Hi there.
Hey, Marie.
Hi. I was seeing only the ceiling. Well, I see only the ceiling, actually.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All she sees is the ceiling.
Oh. Yeah,
that's okay.
Yeah.
There we go. Can you hold it?
Okay.
Okay, so this is Marty Vitelli in the green shirt. He's the chair of the committee.
Hello.
And seated next to him, which I don't know that you can see, is Barb Bergworth, who's also on the committee. And next to her is Jimmy Carroll, who's also on the Public Safety Committee.
That's my hand.
Yeah. And we're also joined here by the police chief and the fire chief and several other members. You've already met Desiree Fergoso, who is the assistant administrator. I'm Linda Tucker. I'm the city administrator. I think you first reached out to me. And also Marie Copeland is here recording the history of the meeting. We're also joined by a member of the news media, two members of the news media as well, both electronic and print media. So you guys are already a little famous. We hope that's okay. A lot of good positive press about this. So the item on the agenda is consideration of filming the solar eclipse as a city-sponsored event. And the reason this is on the agenda this way is because the city...
I'm going to put you on speaker now.
Okay. So I'll welcome you, Taran. I'm Linda Tucker. I'm the city administrator. That's who's speaking now. And the entire Public Safety Committee, along with other members of the city, as well as some members of the news media, are present. So don't say anything bad about anybody. You're live on the world right now. So anyway, the reason this is on the agenda is that the city does not allow any commercial activity on the city's beach. And anytime there is any kind of activity that's considered to be commercial activity, the only way that is allowed is if the city gives what's called city-sponsored event status. That is the only mechanism that we have that would allow commercial activity on the beach. And an endeavor like this, where you're making an IMAX movie, which sounds very exciting, related to the solar eclipse scheduled for August 21st, would be considered commercial activity. So I'm going to stop talking now and let you all talk a little bit about your project and what your expectations are, what you would need from the city, and then we'll talk about logistics if indeed it is the will of this committee to recommend to full council that this project be given city-sponsored event status. We will decide where the best place on the beach would be for you. So with that, I'll be quiet and let you talk to the committee members.
Okay, well, thank you so much for mapping out the lay of the land there. So let me approach this in a couple of ways, if I could, and feel free to cut me off as you wish. But what I'd like to do is just tell you very briefly a little bit about what we do, the Cosmic Picture, and what this film is, and then also specifically the limited scale of what we hope to achieve on the beach with you on August 21st. So I have a company called Cosmic Picture. We specialize in making IMAX educational documentary films. These are films that are screened exclusively in museums and science centers, and are primarily for school children and families. So you know, some of these films, I'm sure you guys, I hope you guys have seen some of these, you know, like Everest or Mysteries of Egypt or Space Station. My last film, IMAX film, is called Jerusalem, and that was distributed by National Geographic. Actually, it won Best Film and Best Cinematography, and National Geographic won Best Marketing. These films are, I suppose, they can be defined as being commercial, yet I do know that 80% of the box office of these films go to the museums and science centers. And in fact, a good amount of the money that we raise for these projects is non-profit, from charitable sources. So that's sort of the background. This film specifically that we are in development on right now and about to go into production is on Einstein. It's called Einstein's Incredible Universe. And the focus of this film, this is really a story about a little boy who couldn't stop thinking and whose imagination was able to change the world. And the idea is to encourage amongst our kids curiosity, creativity, and imagination to help to solve problems and unlock the mysteries of the universe. Coming up on August 21st, it's close to the 100th anniversary of the Arthur Eddington experiment that was the first observational proof of Einstein's general theory of relativity. And we are filming this really across the United States. We've got several different units from in Carbondale, Illinois, to the Grand Tetons in Jackson, up in west in Oregon, to you, we hope. And the idea is to film this extraordinary eclipse, this totality, like it's never been done before. And to be able to share that in our film for kids for many years to come. With that said, that's the specific film. And what we're hoping, if it meets with your approval, is that we could station one of our top time-lapse photographers, his camera and tripod, on your beach from, I think it's 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., with a 12-foot square area to be roped off for us to do a time-lapse image to show the eclipse exiting the United States. I won't bang on anymore. I think I talked quite enough, just trying to give you a brief overview. And do feel free to ask any questions or throw anything my way.
Thank you for the information.
One question?
Yeah.
Just to clarify the footage, 12 square feet or 12 feet square?
12 square feet.
Sorry,
can you say that again?
12 square feet.
12 square feet, that's virtually nothing. Yeah.
Right.
3x4.
Just to set the camera.
Sure. Okay.
To sort of protect the camera. If I may add something, you said earlier that you will find a place for us on the beach where we could do that. We had a guy who went, the guy who will do this shoot, he scouted the beach and he spotted a place not very far from the pier. If that would be possible for him, it would be the best place on the beach to do so, if it's not a problem. Of course, I haven't seen the place, so it's hard to go more on that, but he was specific about front beach, close to the pier. And he will shoot the change of light. That's what he will show during all this long day, much longer than the eclipse actually. But that's what his task is on this big project.
Mr. Chair.
Yes. Go ahead.
I hear a little bit of confusion when you say 12 square feet. I thought I heard 12 foot by 12 foot.
No.
No, he said.
No.
So it's 3.5 by...
3 by 4.
So like let me clarify, is it just enough room for the person to stand with their camera or have their camera on a tripod?
Exactly.
Yeah, and have it fenced off somehow to protect it.
He doesn't plan to have a party between the cones. He will just be there at home with his camera, you know. He will not have people and guests and bars, and it's not that at all.
Okay.
It's one person with just to secure himself, not to have any elbow or because I guess there will be a lot of people, right? So
yes.
That affects his work, actually.
Okay.
I guess we can look at our cameraman here and kind of get a good idea of what it's going to take.
So I have a question.
Oh, yes. We have a question.
Okay, so Linda Tucker again.
Sorry,
on this...
can I just...
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm having a tough time hearing you, so if there's any direct questions for me, please say it clearly. Thank you.
Okay, this is Linda Tucker. I'm the city administrator, and I'm standing up. Hopefully you can hear me better now.
Yes, that sounds great. Thank you so much.
Okay, very good. The only concern that I would have about the location that you have mentioned is that there will be a lot of people in that location. There will be a lot of noise around there. The city's actually planning a big event around the eclipse event, so there'll be children's activities and a lot going on. When we had talked about this, we had thought internally, we had thought that maybe a better location might be on the beach near 42nd Avenue. There'll be less activity. There will be some activity because we're a public beach, but there would be less activity in that location than there would be near the pier. So I just wonder if it might be better to have you located sort of out of the central mainstream of where everything will be going on.
Thank you for that thought. And look, we certainly don't want to do anything that would in any way inconvenience you guys. I would just say, though, that part of what is so important about what it is that, you know, we hope to capture, it's not just the great natural event itself, but also the people who have come together to witness it. And so I think part of the reason for our interest at this specific spot is that it does put us in the heart of the action. And part of the time-lapse unit will be able to see, without any specific clarity, but, you know, people coming together for this event and then leaving after the eclipse has gone by. So from a creative perspective, this is really the spot that we would hope to be at.
Yeah. another question I have is, you mentioned the one person. Will he have anyone assisting him, or is this just one person coming to set up, and that's the entire crew?
A long time.
Okay.
As far as I know, he's alone.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I would say, if I could on this, we've made a number of these films where we have to ask very difficult requests of people, and you know, we've taken our cameras up into space. We've taken them into some of the most complicated places on Earth. To go, and we are always annoying people and being difficult along the way, but we are very, very respectful and really, as I said before, don't want to inconvenience you. And at the same time, I think, you know, I don't know whether this is of any interest to you, but, you know, this is something that also could be, you know, this is a film that we hope will be shown for decades to come, and certainly we would have the ability to be able to promote, you know, this part of the world and your beaches here as being part of this sequence and, you know, being in this film. So, again, I don't know if that's of interest, but I thought it's worth mentioning.
Sure. Any questions?
Yeah.
Jimmy.
Yes, sir. One last question, and I heard you say it once already. My name is Jimmy Carroll. You said you're doing this for IMAX movies, and it's for museums and science centers. We've turned down commercial people who've wanted to film different things on the island. I just want to make sure that we're doing something that's actually going for the better good for everyone, not a commercial venture, but really for an educational type of purpose.
Thank you. Thank you, Jimmy, for asking the question and allowing me the opportunity to clarify that. So just to put you squarely in the picture of it, we're in the midst of an application right now to the National Science Foundation for a $3 million grant, $3 million that would go to the production of the film, and then $1 million that would go to outreach purposes to help with the educational outreach to schools across the country. So the heart of this project is very much at heart, as we define it, non-commercial. This is not a Hollywood commercial production, but it has Hollywood-like quality of images, but for the purpose of educating and inspiring kids, our school children. That's what the goal is here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions?
No, I'm good.
Okay. I'll make a motion that we... Linda, anything else from you?
I would just like to reiterate for you all, if it is the will of this committee to recommend this project to City Council, be given the city-sponsored event status, then the next steps will be approval of City Council, and then you all will have to provide a certificate of insurance naming the city as an additional insured on the policy at a minimum of $1 million in liability, and then provide us with that certificate naming us as an additional insured, and you will also be required to get a business license through our Office of Business Planning and Zoning. So just those three remaining steps for you to have the go-ahead. I would ask that you coordinate with the Alapalms Police Department regarding the placement of the personnel on the beach, so that we know exactly where you are and are able to coordinate that a little bit, along with all of our other eclipse planning.
Excellent.
Brilliant. Absolutely, we're very happy to do all of that, and we'll get right to it if we have your approval.
Great. Now I'll make a motion that we allow Cosmic Pictures to film the solar eclipse from the beach as a city-sponsored event.
So, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We will now take this to City Council, and they will vote on it, and that will be your final answer. I don't know if we can get it on the...
We're going to have to follow up with you as to when that will be on the agenda. We have a special meeting scheduled for 4 o'clock this afternoon, but it is not on that particular agenda, but we've got a couple of other meetings coming up soon. I fully expect, though, with the concurrence of this committee, that it's quite likely that that council is going to approve the project as well.
One last question.
Sure.
Should we do this? Should one of these be available to be conferenced in during our council meeting for other questions?
But we will certainly see if we can make those arrangements to do. If we did it today, we can do it again.
We're so technologically savvy.
we will make ourselves available as you require, and look forward to help facilitate this decision-making process. But really appreciate your support, and thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, brilliant. Take care then. Thanks all. Bye-bye.
Will I hear from Desiree, or how will it work concretely for me, please?
Yes, I can. I will follow up on with you in regards to the next meeting. Will this go?
Okay.
Will go? before That's City Council.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For your call or for your email. Thanks.
All right.
Thank you.
Can I ask a quick question? Which location was approved? The pier or 42nd Street?
The pier. It sounds like they're interested in having the crowd shots as well as...
So near the pier.
So, yes, they would be somewhere at the front beach.
Approved. Mm-hmm. Okay, because the motion just said approved.
Yeah. Right.
But mm-hmm. I wanted to make sure that it was the pier area.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, where were we?
Number two.
Approval of previous meetings minutes. We had a regular meeting on June 5th, a special meeting on June 26th. I have a motion for approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We move into item three, citizens' comments. I see we have some citizens in the audience.
No.
You would stand up, say your name and address, Jim Rye.
Jim Rye, 3904 Cameron Boulevard. Most of you know part of my background, so I won't bore you with my background, but I think that, you know, your old business 4A, we're talking about efforts to remove encroachments from the right-of-ways. I think the efforts need to start from day one of the construction, and we're going to put up the construction zone area and the fencing, because if you look at some of the construction sites, they're actually encroaching on the easements now. So I think that that's the time when we need to start and make sure that when they put up their fencing for construction, that they're not on the easement to start with, because I think that they kind of take ownership at that particular point. And I think that might be a good way to help with the enforcement of the removal. And I know that construction's difficult, especially on the small lots, but and particularly on Cameron, they're building the house, and they've got the street almost completely blocked from 40th down to 41st with construction vehicles parked on the street. And I just think it's a safety hazard should the fire department or police department need to access that. So, you know, I know that we want to be good neighbors and welcome our new neighbors to the community, but I think that we need to really enforce the construction barriers that are put up, because if you look at that site in particular, they've destroyed them. You might as well not even put up any barriers at all to begin with. But I just say that for food for thought, because the more we can start it from day one, the easier it's going to be for law enforcement and emergency personnel to access that. So just food for thought for what it's worth from an old man.
Thank you, Jim. Any other citizens' comments? Hearing none, we'll move on to old business, which
just leads right into that.
Moves right into efforts to remove encroachments from the right-of-way. Chief, I think you all are about to tell me it's summertime and we are very busy.
We haven't done much with the right-of-way. We've done more with the lot clearing. We have not done much with the right-of-way since the start of the summer season. We'll be picking that project back up in the early fall. Mid-September.
Great. Thank you. And then we'll move right into the clearing of the overgrown lots.
All overgrown lots that we've reported on previously have been cleared. And we've recently have had new ones that we've contacted owners on. One has been cut back down on Cameron. And then at 3402 and One Wills Way, we just sent out letters the end of last week for two additional lots that need to be cleared up.
Great. Thank you. Now I'll move to the update from Chief Graham. You said you were looking at some balloon ordinances.
I am, but I honestly believe that the simplest thing we can do to not make this any more complicated than it has to be is to include this along with the plastic bag ban, and just make an amendment to that instead of starting over. I have found quite a few that different laws from different areas banning balloons along with pollution to protect the wildlife. And I was talking to Chief Buchanan earlier and said that we just have to be careful about saying, you know, if we say it's going to be from the beach, then we have to define the beach. If we say from the island, can someone have release a balloon in the yard as long as it's not on the beach? And, you know, just being careful about that kind of thing. So I'd like to just type up a draft and run it by Linda and send it to Sterling.
So would this be no sale of balloons on Isle of Palms?
No release of balloons.
No release. No balloon releases on Isle of Palms.
Correct.
Jimmy, go ahead.
As I walk my daily walks around Isle of Palms, I was going down the street the other day on Cameron, and I saw where somebody had a birthday party. And I saw zillions. And my kids did it too. So I can't, I'm not throwing stones at anybody.
They weren't releasing. They just
were throwing balloons and smacking them on everybody. You know, so
water balloons.
So, I mean.
That's different.
Well, there is problematic. There's some kids' toys out there right now that are designed to
biodegrade.
I wasn't going to say designed to biodegrade, but designed to play a game like in a big outdoor area like the beach. And I think it's the debris from some of these games that have been happening in highly trafficked areas from the beach that have caused some of the concern. It's not just release of balloons that float up and then come down, but it's also the use of balloons in these games that then create balloon litter.
Correct.
If I understand the concern correctly.
Yes, and as a matter of fact, Costco's has a special on a big giant case of balloons with exactly what you're talking about, where it's a game.
Mm-hmm. And one of my neighbors said she found she cleaned up a place on the beach where they evidently had a party. Don't know if it started to rain or whatever, but they had just kind of abandoned everything that was there, including the balloons, the banners, and all that.
That goes with our litter ordinance.
Yes.
Well, and it kind of seems like, I mean, this could be rolled into the plastic bag or the litter, or just expand the litter. Mm-hmm. And Chief Buchanan did say it would be very difficult to enforce. However, I think some of this is just education. Right. Make people
aware. They know it's aware that it's not allowed.
Some people have no idea it's an endangering their wildlife. Right. And if they did, that alone could stop some people.
Jimmy, you got a question.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman. The aquarium held an International Banned Plastic Day, and many of our marine wildlife have ingested balloons, and turtles have ingested balloons. So, I mean, it's everywhere, and it get broken down to little micro, even shrimp and porpoises, you find it in them. So, I mean, again, I commend the chief for bringing it forward. I do think it's something that we really need to look at across the board. I commend our local restaurants that are going strawless. I mean, that's a big thing. Start small and work up. And so, again, this is another one of those, try to be proactive as opposed to reactive.
I think that's what we're doing. And I would ask the chief to go ahead and drop a draft. I'd like to see. I think we send it to all of us. We won't talk about it, but we'll make any comments and maybe
and
can
Sterling
get
first
back to you and to Sterling first, right, to determine where it would best fit.
And that's been the problem, is I've got all the information is where should it fit and make it the least amount of work on y'all, just to be able to add it to something that's already existing.
A huge part of it's education, because obviously policemen aren't going to be riding up and down the streets looking for someone with a balloon in their hand, you know. But we've had events where, you know, as a memorial, they want to do a 100 balloon release.
And
convince them that, how about flowers in the water or something instead, you know, so.
Thank you, Chief.
Done A.
Parking at the rec center. We've all received pictures and verbiage. Chief, can you tell us where we are with that? And I know one of the things involved a large front end loader that was parked on 28th, I believe.
27th,
I'm sorry.
As far as the equipment and stuff that's parked down there, we're making notifications to the people that own equipment. But it's not like we can go in there and just tell them today and be gone tomorrow, because they've been allowed to park. it as a public parking area, so it doesn't have the same restrictions that other areas would have. But it being public parking area, as long as they meet the state guidelines of moving the vehicles every couple of days, there's not a lot we can do about it unless we restrict the parking in that area.
And this front loader thing, have they been moving it, or is it just sat there? Do we know?
Sat there.
I think it's just been there.
So
I think it's just been there. But like the van that they were talking about that's down there, that's been moved. Mm-hmm. That gets moved almost every day.
Yeah.
But it looks like it's there all day.
Because they see, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
But like I said, the heavy equipment, you know, that's where we're making the contact with the owners to move it every couple of days if they're going to keep it there until we come up with something that we're going to do different with it or not do different with it.
Thank you.
I think Jimmy has something to say, and I have something to add.
Yeah, you know, a lot of residents have contacted me. They bought there knowing they were across from the recreation center. They bought there knowing that there are going to be cars parking because of the recreation, you know, fields being used. However, they did not buy there thinking they were being across from a commercial parking lot. The lot's filled with the marina cars. It's filled with a tractor, boat trailers, two boat trailers, one of which has flat tires.
So that's probably a local resident, right?
Well, but you know, is that our job to provide parking? Can everybody on Isle Palms go and park their vehicles down there?
Yep.
And them sit there?
We've had folks park their bikes on Palm Boulevard.
So
maybe
one of the things we could look at is saying the parking will be at a limited time. After X time at night, the cars are moved.
No overnight parking.
No overnight parking.
Mm-hmm.
As
I think you'll have some pushback from the residents, because I have a feeling some of them are the ones that are doing it. But, I mean, the rec committee went forward with this parking for Morgan Creek. I mean, I know it's an inconvenience, but it was a way to solve a problem, and it still is a way to solve a problem in the short term until, you know, we can organize the parking better at the marina.
And I think this is something we can take on as part of our after-season parking meeting we always have.
I do think that there was a possibility for an after action. I will share that this was, I think the complaints have been generated as a result of coming up with a temporary parking solution for the employees of the marina, where we had such a congested site, and the recreation committee and the recreation department were very generous to say there are certain times of day that our parking is not filled. And so that would offer a temporary solution to the overflow parking for the employees at the Isle Palms Marina. I have notified the tenants who are taking advantage of that offer that the city is beginning to receive complaints from the adjacent residences, and we have seen this as a temporary solution that they need to begin to think about a more long-term solution for the next season. So, you know, we don't want to pull the rug out from under them right in the middle of, you know, sort of peak season now, but for next year, we need to think about alternatives to the rec center. I think what happens with something like this is it starts out as a few cars, and then, you know, it's not just the marina. People see people parking there and they go, oh, okay, I could park my tractor there, you know, and then I could put my boat there, and then it just kind of mushrooms into something greater than the initial solution that we thought we were solving.
I think we definitely can look at no overnight parking. That's
right.
Sure, that seems like an easy
construction
one.
Things in the boats.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
As Administrator Tucker said, I think we allowed it last year, mm-hmm. but it grew. I mean, it went from a few cars to a whole street now.
So it's been a success.
Yes.
I mean, in the eyes of the parking at the marina, it's been a success.
The initial reason for doing it.
Okay, so could the boathouse now start taking their employees' cars down there and parking? And
well, they've got another free lot right across the street from them. They don't need to.
Again, that's for their...
But, well...
I'm trying to give you an example.
I guess they could.
And so this is something that we need to address for our residents. Not, you know, I think residents should always come first.
Well, I don't think we've said anything contrary to that. I think we've said that this needs to be part of the
after action.
This year's parking.
I can agree with that.
In the meantime, we can look at no overnight parking. Yeah. I think that's a very easy one to probably solve the problem. I say that, Linda.
Yeah, meaning that the chief has to enforce it. Yeah.
We'll look at
but,
it.
But I would think you can look at it. Thank you. That's all we have in new business, but Andy's been working very hard and has a schematic or map, whatever we want to call it, of the next event. So I would make a motion that we add to the agenda an item to discuss the logistics of the solar event.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, so I would like to start with this because I want to make sure that that we give credit where credit is due, because Andy did do, he's worked very hard and so has the entire rec staff in trying to put this event together. He did do a sketch, but our very talented artisan residents, Amy Lee, along with Desiree and some help from Douglas, actually took Andy's work product, and we think we have refined it a little bit to be a little more inclusive of some of the things. And first off, I want to reassure everyone, the eclipse is the event.
Right.
The eclipse is going to happen. The goal of the city was to take the eclipse that's going to happen and try to manage this event as best as we can manage it. No different from the way we try to manage Memorial Day, when we know we're going to have a huge influx of people just because it's a holiday event, and the same as we manage a July 4th, where we know we're going to have a huge influx of people. The same thing is going to happen with the eclipse, because this will be the last place in the continental United States where it'll be visible. We are likely to have quite a few people over here, and we already have the interest, like we saw from the item on the agenda earlier today, that tells us that that's the case. So what we have tried to do is manage this event the same way that we would manage a Memorial Day or a July 4th from a public safety standpoint. And then from a recreation standpoint, we're trying to provide healthy family activities for people to be involved in while they are over here and enjoying the experience of this eclipse. So those are the kinds of things that the rec department's been working on. I'll let Andy take it from here to talk about what they have planned and for where on the schedule here. And then also just one other point of reassurance. Anytime we are expecting to have any kind of significant event, whether it be a hurricane or a flood or a Memorial Day weekend or a July 4th weekend or an eclipse, the city puts together an incident action plan, and part of that is our preparation for the crowds, where we're going to put public safety personnel, where we're going to put city personnel. So we are operating off of a draft at this point of the incident action plan that interfaces all departments. We cannot do an event like this without all hands on deck with the city. So we will have all hands on deck that day. Offices like City Hall and the Building Department and even the Rec Center, right before the eclipse starts and until it's over, those offices will be temporarily closed because we will have all employees in the area where we expect the biggest crowds to be. So just to offer you all a little reassurance that we're trying to get out messaging urging residents to stay, you know, on their own property or the beach near their homes rather than flocking to the areas of the island that will be the most crowded. So with that, I will let Andy kind of go through what all we have planned for that day and when.
Okay. So the timeline for the event, the official start time is 11:30 and we'll run to 4:30. 11:30 is when we'll have music taking place on a stage that will be set up between the Windjammer and Coconut Joe's. As you can see on the map, how we've got it kind of positioned where it's going to be located. So like I said, a DJ will be playing some music. Ideally, we're going to have him play some you know, sun and moon type songs and things like that.
Age of Aquarius.
Stuff like that, correct. So that'll be taking place on the stage at 11:30. As you can see on the map, the other things we have set up, 95SX, the radio station, is working with us to help promote the event, to get the word out there about it, as well as the safety aspects of the events, as far as getting eclipse classes and things of that nature. They're helping us get the word out on that. So they're going to have a tent set up with a disc jockey that will be broadcasting live from the beach at the time. Exchange Club will be on the beach selling water. They're going to have water available for those that are on the beach that may not have been so prepared to come to the eclipse and realize this is a big event, so I'm going to stick around. So they need some extra water, and that's why we reached out to the Exchange Club to see if they would help us out with that. We're going to have a sand sculpting exhibition. The winners of our Piccolo Spoleto 2017 sand sculpting competition have graciously agreed to come out and do a sand sculpting exhibition for this event. Kind of another unique aspect of us being on the beach, we thought it would be a really cool thing for them to do, so they've agreed to do that. We're working with East Cooper Medical Center to provide a first aid tent. Kind of anything that can be picked up real quick, just scrapes, bruises, bumps, whatever it might be, they're going to be on hand to just kind of help out with that type of thing. We're going to be on the beach, the city of Isle of Palms. It's going to be represented with our recreation department staff. We're going to be selling t-shirts, handing out eclipse glasses, and then we're also going to have a photo op with a backdrop for people to take pictures to kind of commemorate the event as well. CNN is going to have a space set up down the public beach access where the public restrooms are. As you can see there, parking spaces, they're going to be having two parking spaces that Chief B has said that we can use across from Coconut Joe's in order to have a van for them to set up, and they're going to run their cables and stuff down to their tent. We're also going to have a couple different ice cream or Italian ice vendors on the beach, King of Pops and then Holy City Italian Ice. Again, just another fun treat to kind of have on the beach available for those that come. Martian Rocks is a vendor that reached out to us, actually. They are actually coming from Pennsylvania, but they said they're going to be here for the event and wanted to know if they could display some of their Martian rocks that they have.
But they're going to sell them.
Yeah, I think the plan is for them to sell them, but I think they mainly just like to show them off. That's a big part of it.
I assume they're not selling the real ones.
Correct, yeah. But it's still a fun thing to go along with the whole eclipse and the moon and all that stuff. So they'll be set up on the beach down there as well. In Charleston County Park, the Charleston County Parks and Rec Commission graciously worked with us in this to put up some children's activities in their park, just again to kind of help spread out the influx of people and to have something for the kids to do, since we know there's going to be a lot of families down there and they're going to have to occupy their kids' times. And so they'll be in there. Charleston County Park is also going to have a roving interpreter from one of their other parks coming out to kind of talk about the nature of the eclipse and things of that. The overflow parking that we're going to have for media and then for our vendors as well. We're working with the police department right now, getting tag numbers for all those vendors that are going to be coming down here and setting up. They're going to be located in the gravel parking lot behind the public safety building, if my understanding is correct.
Small lot,
yes, thank you. So they're going to have parking in there. And then one other thing I forgot to mention was Channel 2 News is also going to be broadcasting live from the event throughout the day. They're going to have their, I think it's 11 a.m. broadcast, as well as their 5 and 6 o'clock broadcast. And then they also have a half-hour special from 2:30 to 3 when the eclipse is supposed to be taking place that they'll be broadcasting live from the beach. Yes.
Quick question.
Yeah, well, I'm a little concerned. The overfull media parking and annual passes only. I've had two Front Beach businesses concerned about that, because even the 4th of July, all their employees couldn't get in that lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I would think overflow media could be over here at City Hall or something. I have a feeling we're going to have every employee is going to be on, and they bought passes, so they have to be able to park in that lot. And they have to come first before overflow media, because how do you control that? Overflow Media's kid and grandson and whatever, and they, so I think we need to really take care of the people who are working.
And that's something that I can work with the police department as well. Like I said, what we're trying to do right now is gather the tag numbers for vehicles that we know will be coming. If their tag number is not taken in, they're going to be ticketed, and they know that they're not supposed to be parking in that area.
These are people that have bought passes that these business owners. So
yeah,
they've got passes. So you're going to reach out and find every...
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the media members and the
vendors.
Yeah.
If someone shows up unexpectedly, then they will have to go to the large lot or wherever they can.
Yeah.
We're really, in here, we're talking about those things that we expect. Like, we expect the employees of the businesses to be in there, so we will be prepared for them. And we were thinking of the other, mainly the other two media outlets in the Charleston region that, you know, Channel 2 we know is already going to be involved. If the other two show up, then we don't have any accommodation for them on the street is really the point. And they often...
Overflow Media Parking is sort of a broad phrase.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. We were thinking
Fred
more of those two.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to offer clarity, too, which we have a meeting scheduled with all the Front Beach businesses where we will be reviewing this, but I want to offer the clarity that Ocean Boulevard will not be closed.
Right.
There has been a little confusion out there because many of the city events that we hold down at the Front Beach are events that are held out in Ocean Boulevard. Well, this will not be the case. This event that is happening is at Eclipse. The activities that we're planning on will actually be out on the beach, with the exception of those going on inside the county park. So the road will not be closed, so there shouldn't be the kind of complications with traffic that we would have if that road were closed. So we will manage it similarly to any beach, big beach weekend, in terms of the traffic patterns in through there.
Jeremy.
Mr. Chairman, to piggyback on what Administrator Tucker said, you know, they have reached out to the police and the fire, to Charleston County, to DNR and everything. You know, this is a once in a lifetime event. I kind of equate it to the Carolina Clemson football game being played in Clemson, and everybody trying to get in and out at the same time. So, I mean, we're going to have traffic problems.
Yep.
And I think we really need to have our police and BSOs more concerned with keeping traffic moving both on and off the island, as opposed to seeking parking violations on the interior of the island. I mean, this is kind of be...
Well, I think that goes without saying.
Well,
right.
That's why we're here and we're talking
And I'd like to say, you know, I'm not here, we're not here to tell the police and fire department how to move traffic smoothly. I believe they know that. They have done events like this, and as the city administrator said, this is handled with a plan just like all of our other events. We've managed to get folks on and off the island for these other events, and this one is a little unique in that I don't believe people are gonna stay for the eclipse,
no.
And as soon as it's over, everyone's going to leave.
Right.
I think you're going to have a trickling on and off throughout the day.
Right.
Well,
we'll also have a partial eclipse up to 4 p.m.
Right.
Right.
So, you know.
And we have the music playing from 3 until 4:30 to kind of help keep people around as well.
Yeah.
Well, as my whole goal is to say for our public safety officers, both police and fire, is, you know, we're going to have a lot of people out here, and I'd rather them keep it smooth.
Right.
As opposed to minutia details of this car's, now the fire hydrants and the corners should always be kept open as safety. But
so
they know what they're going beyond that.
Well, handle it as a normal special event.
Normal 4th of July, Memorial Day,
plus.
Roll it all into one.
So I wanted to mention one other thing. I think there had been a council member who asked about whether or not it would be possible to reverse the connector for the exodus or the influx, and that is not something that is possible for us to do. It requires coordination with SCDOT, and it's not that it is particularly problematic to actually reverse the connector. It is more problematic on either end, the island end or the Mount Pleasant end, where you would have to have carefully planned coordination for changes in direction of traffic flow and direction of traffic. This was something that we actually looked at back when we were working on the parking plan and whether or not we could make some changes in that regard. And it is far more complicated than it seems when you just think in terms of, okay, just send everybody out on the connector at the end of the thing. We're really hoping that this is going to be a gradual influx and a gradual exodus. We also know that a lot of this, people are coming for the entire weekend and the expanded weekend. So many of the people will not be on the road. We're expecting that the Thursday before or the Friday before is when we will really start seeing sort of like a Good Friday weekend, where we see a massive influx of people who are staying on the island during that time. So we're doing everything that we can do to be prepared. And, you know, could there be some sort of unusual event that occurs as a result of this many people being over here? That's certainly possible, and we'll do our best to work through it if that does occur. But in terms of what we can anticipate, I think that we even know that we're going to be rolling trash cans out of the line of fire of the crowds because there's, you know, garbage pickup on that Monday. So we've thought of all the details, even right down to where there will be rollout carts that need to be moved. So hopefully we've thought of most everything.
Are most turtles hatched by that time?
No, not at all. But they don't hatch between 11 and 5.
But I'm worried about people standing on.
Well,
you think it's
nice? You know,
not enough temperature.
I mean, they are, most
it's
of
no
are
different
marked.
Than the 4th of July. They're
right.
Marked. Most people are very respectful. But you've gone off your idea of giving free parking, huh?
Well, it's not so much free parking. I'm just trying to say that.
No, you had said, let's have free parking in the county lot, in our lots.
I said, let's be more lenient as for what we're after.
You said in an email to me and everyone else that you thought it'd be a magnanimous gesture.
Yes, I think it is magnanimous for us to, the people are going to come to this island, and let's let them welcome to the Isle of Palms. Because this event's going to be bigger than the 4th of July.
So the problem is, if you announce that you're giving free parking, you're going to have an influx of probably double the cars than you would normally have in a horrible weekend.
I'm not saying I'm renouncing anything. I'm just saying let's just be careful on what we're doing. Let's concentrate our police and fire on the main roads where traffic is coming and going.
Right. Okay. Well, then you have backed off from giving free parking in the lots, because that's what you were suggesting.
I was talking to y'all in an email, just talking about...
Yeah, but
about
when you talk to everyone in an email, it should become public record. You shouldn't be talking public policies in an email.
That's not public policies. I'm just talking about we've got a big event coming, and I'm trying to make sure that we get the people on and off the island very safely and orderly.
Perfect.
Thank you.
The one other thing I do want to mention is we have coordinated with SCE&G so that the street lights in the beachside subdivision and at the front beach will not come on when at the darkest part of the eclipse, because they're set to naturally come on when it's dark. So SCE&G is helping us out with that. Now, there will be lights that they cannot do that with.
Right.
Sure.
So some of our street lights, the ones that are at the front beach that are the newer lights and the ones within the beachside community, they have indicated to us that they can control. But it will mean that those lights will not necessarily be immediately coming back on. So if you get reports of street lights out for about a 24-hour period, it's because we're adjusting the lights based on making sure that they do not spoil the eclipse event and immediately come on when it's absolute dark.
Great, thank you.
One thing wanted to mention that made me think about this was the cell tower. The capacity of the cell tower is going to be boosted for this event as well. I mean, as you can imagine, it's going to be a large influx of people using their cell phones and things of that nature. So T-Mobile will definitely be having some enhanced qualities for the cell tower that day. So mainly like the city phones will be able to get through a little bit easier than say, it's not Joe Schmo. So just so you know, that's
right.
Taking place.
Again,
as well.
Little points like that, those are big things.
We've got a great staff that does terrific planning. Chief Graham,
yes.
put you on the spot here. The QRV?
One. That's what they're offering. They're going to be slammed throughout the county.
Yeah, right.
Oh,
we're
right.
Not the only ones.
Sure.
That
right.
Sure.
Yeah.
Chief
However,
Bean.
We will have additional staff, and we are prepared to call for backup if we need it. The QRV will be stationed over here, most likely be in the area of Front Beach. It could be bounce around the island, but as always, we'd never hesitate to call for additional units if we need them.
Oh, sure. Sure. Chief B, any outreach to the sheriff or anyone?
Everyone's
slammed. Same thing.
They're slammed. They're booked.
Right.
We have contacted Mount Pleasant. They plan on assisting with the other side of the bridge.
Great. That's good news.
For traffic direction over there. And over here on our side, I'll have 14 people working at the peak time, 21 working all day long.
Right.
We're also concerned about boating incidents. There'll be a lot more people on the water that day, so we'll be prepared for that as well.
Of course.
Yeah, right. Did we forget anything?
Hope not.
The weather.
You guys have got
yeah,
weather.
Could rain.
Yes,
it could be cloudy,
oh
and that
boy.
Would spoil it.
Let's hope for a sunny day.
Could have a hurricane.
Oh, God.
No.
You're down to here.
I'm down to here. The highlights of departmental reports. Chief Graham.
Okay, the copy you have may or may not have page numbers. It was resent today with page numbers.
It, well,
they
do.
They
have
the one they have that you don't have.
Okay. So, on my page one, on the call summary, on the first, we just responded to Breach Inlet to assist Sullivan's Island with water rescue. One individual stuck on a sandbar. And as you're aware, as the tides come and go, it affects the people who are on the sandbar. On the first, we also had a vehicle accident on the connector. On the second, had another incident, a breach inlet on Sullivan's Island side with four people in trouble. We launched one of our jet skis and assisted them bringing back to shore. On the second, there was a call to 300 block of Carolina for smoke coming from a hole in the ground. Turned out to be SCNG. Thank God nobody got hurt. On the seventh, there was a boater in distress in the middle of the coastal waterway. Fella had run aground. This was a nighttime call. We did call Charleston County Rescue. They needed the airboat. The fellow was so far away from water. On the 11th, responded to a structure fire on Will's Way. It turned out to be a thermostat. Our personnel are extremely resourceful when it comes to getting down to exactly what happened. On the 16th, most of y'all should be aware of the lightning strike down at Ocean Point. Came out as a lightning strike on the boardwalk, 8 people down. 4 people were transported, included a small child who was in the arms of his mother, who was struck by lightning, dropped the child, hit his head. Later learned that 3 additional people that was with that group had gone to visit their family at the hospital, and apparently they were checked out, and 3 more of them were determined to be confirmed to be struck by lightning. Mm. So we got real lucky. On the 22nd, again, responded to a boater in distress at Bulliard Sound. I believe this was the one where some people had just bought a boat. It was not a very good boat. It had some issues. Anchor didn't work. A slew of other things. They were bought back. I was told this is a boat that that Marianne from Gilligan's Island would not have gotten. They went out for a night ride and almost didn't come back. What would be page 7, there were a total of 200 calls, 132 of those were in District 1, 62 in District 2, 6 of those were mutual aid, 41 resident and 159 non-resident. 65 of those were EMS type calls. And then you've got your long list from the dispatch center. I am trying to find out, it seems that when the 911 call goes out, the alarm time, which we're being given, is actually the time the dispatch picks up the 911 call. So it's adding anywhere from 2 to 4 minutes to our call time, which I'm not sure how they're going to fix that, but to me that's not okay. So we're looking into that now. On page 21 with the call classification breakdown with the big Excel spreadsheet, there were, as stated, 200 incidents overall. This was the highest on record since this page goes back to 2004. And if we were to continue to look back further, this is probably our highest on record. However, I feel personally that our year's been a little slower than normal because of all the rain. But this particular month was busy. And we've had some really bad calls as well. On the 22nd, page 22, all the pre-incident surveys are up to date. Page 23, Travis is doing a really good job trying to get the word out about the Knox boxes so that the fire department needs one key to enter a business. We open the box. It's a secure box. The keys are highly controlled, and so we don't have to carry 15 keys around per building. We open the Knox box, and all the keys are inside. There were 16 inspections conducted, 124 violations found. Some of those are minor. So. On page 24, there was an average of 33.4 hours of training for career personnel. One person was on military leave, so that dropped our number down. It would be a little higher if that number wasn't counted in there. Page 25 for training, there was a variety of training. However, we did host a...
See you guys. Be careful.
Thanks.
We did host a car seat installation class, a refresher course, so we had quite a few people take that from different departments as well.
This is multitasking right now.
Yeah. Right.
I want to see what it is. Oh. This is a shark. It's not really. For the water usage on page 26, approximately 50,000 gallons of water. On the maintenance report, we did have a couple things that were fairly high dollar. One of them was tower, the 95 footer. It had we had to replace the air conditioner compressor, but when they got in there was a lot of damage due to whatever internally, so they had to flush the system. And that was just under $4,000. Also on the tower, the 95 footer, we had to replace the module for a pump shift. The truck wouldn't pump water. And that was just under $1,000. On engine one, which is our newer of the pumping engines, we had to have some gauges inspected. So this bill is for more than just the gauges being inspected. When Fireline comes, they have to come from Georgia. We're now having a problem where the truck is in and out of pump, so we're not sure that it was correctly detected. But some of these, with these trucks, if you cut the truck off and cut it back on, it might reset it. And so we can't keep the truck off until they get here to check it. So it's kind of a hit and miss in some cases. That was just under $500. We did get the new boat, boat 1017, the aluminum flat bottom boat. We had one of our personnel go to Alabama pick it up. They remembered selling us our last boat because it was one of the first ones they sold, and we're impressed with the care we took of it, and they're going to repurpose it for a volunteer fire department. There are some changes that were made to the new one, so it's not just the same old boat. It's the same boat. It's a little bit longer, a little bit wider, a lot more stable, but the other one was like standing on a dock to start with, so it's pretty nice, and it's going to go a lot faster than the other one. There was a wide variety of maintenance, but those were the most expensive. On the personnel report, we did have quite a group of people that were assisting with offloading the fireworks this year, but we kind of made it fun. They made a conveyor belt and teamwork, and that truck was unloaded in record time. On the 4th, we also had two new volunteers, Caleb Martin and Walter Powell. They were planning on joining, but it just turned out that day worked out just fine. We had quite a few people that were assisted with the fireworks display, and so instead of calling everybody out, it was the bulk of the department, but everyone's name is listed. On the 11th, Battalion Chief Hathaway, who is currently our training officer, went to the county for an EOC meeting about the solar eclipse to try to find out what's going on throughout the county and the state. On the 21st, Engineer Richardson worked his last day. He's going back up north, and we have rehired Chris Rouse, which we're happy to have him back. He was a good employee, and we were very happy to have him back. On the public relations, there's a whole lot of
station tours. People come by the station this time of year. However, we also assisted someone who had fallen, couldn't get back up. A whole bunch of station tours. We had someone who had blistered their feet while they were walking off the beach. They were given a ride. We had someone who couldn't start their vehicle, so we assisted with jump-starting that. Assisted a man who was walking across the connector on a very hot day with a gas can. So took him to get gas, brought him back off, and the car started right up, thankfully. And he was actually a very interesting person, had a really nice conversation. So. On the page 37, which is overtime, this is a three-week, a three-pay period cycle, so it's going to be more than normal. It was approximately 1,904 hours of overtime, but that's a three-pay period. And a lot of that's 4th of July and the 4th of July weekend, if there's any questions.
Any questions for the chief? Chief B.
July was a busy month, as expected. A couple of events to highlight. Over on page 2 on July the 9th, we had a weapons law violation in the 1,000 block of Montgomery. The subject got into an argument and ended up shooting the gun toward the windjammer. Nobody was hit by the firing round. We got a description of the vehicle, a description of the person. We were able to get it out to all the local agencies. Mount Pleasant and the sheriff's office actually made a stop on them on the other side of the bridge on Hungry Neck Boulevard. After a standoff of about an hour, he finally gave himself up. He was arrested. And after conferring with the Charleston County Solicitor's Office, he was charged with disorderly conduct, discharging a firearm, pointing a firearm, and discharging a firearm at or into an occupied structure. On that same day, same night, we had an incident that occurred down on 56th Avenue on the beach. Individual walking along on the beach, this is in the morning hours, got struck by somebody wielding a pipe. Received some injuries, and another victim received a fat lip in a confrontation with this person. It has been assigned to the CID. The investigators are working the case, but after reviewing video audio of it, we've made a determination that the person who was assaulted, he knew who the person was that assaulted him, and he's continuing to refuse to cooperate any further as far as us being able to make a charge on somebody.
It was approximately 3 a.m. in the morning.
Right.
Well,
just to clarify. Yeah.
Then over on page 5, community service activities, we had during the month 73 property security check notices that went out. So officers found stuff that were irregular in their patrol, and they gave out, some open doors. And at 17, you could have been a victim of crime, kids leaving bikes out or cars, interior lights on, unlocked, and so forth. And then on July the 5th, Officer Molino and Officer Hardy attended the rec department's summer camp Local Heroes Week. They got to spend a little bit of time with the kids in that camp, and they let them see the police vehicles and passed out safety information and answer questions to the kids. As far as reports go, on page 6, we had a total of 5,079 calls for service last month. We're year-to-date at 25,940 calls for service. Year-to-date for all public safety agencies, we're at 33,198. On the next page, the traffic enforcement section, we made a total of 398 traffic stops during the month. Of those, 82 received some type of citation. 21% received a citation. And I do want to point out that when I say 21% received a citation, the others that did not receive an actual citation that had a monetary value attached with it, they also receive a citation. It's called a warning ticket, but it is a citation, and that information is entered, so we're following what the state law requires.
So if they're stopped a second time, particularly for the same thing, the officer that stops them is going to know this they've had their pass. They've been warned before, and now they've done it again. So it's, there's going to be no warning the second time.
Right. I just felt it was important to make sure we understand it. Just because we do a warning, that means that it is a written warning and their data
they're
is,
in the system.
Is maintained. We had eight collisions during the month versus 20 last year, so we were down on collisions in 1 month. But year to date, we're at 50 versus 60 last year, so we're down slightly for the year. During the month, we wrote a total of 172 reports. Year to date, we're at 1,032. We're slightly ahead of where we were last year as far as the reports go. The arrest report on page 10, we made a total of 48 arrests during the month. Year to date, we're at 233 for the date. Very comparable numbers to where we were last year as far as monthly and annual numbers. And then on the next page, you can see how they break down as usual. The biggest area was liquor law violations. We had 16 arrests for that and 13 for traffic offenses. The animal control report on page 12, they wrote 6 citations during the month. They picked up 19 animals. Of the 19 animals, 12 were dogs. We had 1 cat and 6 others. The others were primarily birds, a couple of seagulls, ducks, and a baby pigeon, but they also picked up a raccoon, a live one. And then the criminal investigation report on page 13, they had cases assigned 20 during the month. They carried over 16 from the month of June. They were able to close out the 36 cases they worked on. They were able to close out 15 of the cases. They're continuing to work on 21 cases that will be carried over into the month of August. The monthly training report, year to date, we're at 407 hours of training. We just got 2 out of the academy in the month of June. We're slated to We're slated to get 1 more out of the academy in the month of August. And in total overtime for the month, we had a total of 704 hours overtime during the month. A large portion of that was the animal control, being down 1 animal control part-time. The full-time one picks up the weekends for. And then finally, the livability report, we had 15 noise complaints during a month. Of the 15, 3 received a citation, 4 received warnings, and 8 were unfounded. And that's the monthly report. If any questions.
Thank you, Chief. Also, like, had family night out was a big success. Thanks to the whole city. I think I saw someone from every department, probably multiples from many departments, and everyone had a good time. And the hot dogs were great.
They were good.
Jeez, that was good.
Question.
Yes.
Chief, on the collisions, any hot spots?
No, it's moving all over. I mean, the biggest spot is, of course, the intersections, especially right around here or on the Front Beach area, the intersection. Most of them. Some of them are also the backing out of spaces, like over at the parking lot.
Right.
There's
one today.
Yeah.
There's one over there today.
There's no real one spot, but they're all over, but the connector is always at this time of the year.
And one last question for you.
Sure. Okay.
Under livability, you know, when I walk, I see so many cars parked over sidewalks and stuff like that. You know, I think maybe in after season, again, going after our rental companies and VRBOs and stuff like that to remind their tenants to keep the sidewalks open.
We work closely with the rental companies. We do go around to them, talk to them. We'll put the word back out again. But we do respond when we get those complaints. And believe it or not, we actually will get some before they get called in.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Oh. No need for an executive session.
Yes.
Okay. The next is Monday, September 11th. Fine with everyone? 2:00, still good?
Good to be.
I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Meeting's adjourned at 3:15.
I emailed you this.
Okay.